What up, Brando? How are you today, my man?
I'm doing great, Jason Malone.
Let's talk to the peoples out there. Maybe some of them driving today. Spring break going on. Happy Summit Drive Time, everybody. Jason and Brand coming to you today from Summit Malden. We got special guests in the studio.
We are gonna
multiple guests in the studio.
But we're not gonna tell everybody who it is yet.
All right, let's keep them guessing.
Say something festive, but keep it short.
Okay, go ahead.
Go first.
Yep, something festive.
But short.
Because this
is the Easter Sun.
It's Easter week. Something festive.
He is risen.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep, that's good.
He is risen indeed.
Well, if we couldn't see that coming.
No, I
totally. Let's talk about for you, Brand. When did it change? When did it become about more than chocolate bunny rabbits,
and
Cadbury
peeps?
Eggs, peeps, and the not real grass in your Easter basket? Go ahead.
It is still a lot about peeps.
Oh, really? You still like them?
I love peeps.
For those of you who weren't with us at Summit Malden a few weeks ago, Brandon and I are doing the welcome on a Sunday morning, welcoming the people to the worship service, and Brandon decided to bring peeps on the stage.
Yeah.
That was a certain kind of peep. What'd you bring?
It was pancakes and maple syrup flavored peep.
And then in front of everybody said, Jason, you got to try this with me.
Yeah.
I felt a little bit put on the spot.
Yeah.
That hadn't happened in a really long time that someone had put me on the spot like that. Now, what all of you would testify about me is I'm kind of my own man in that I don't, peer pressure is not really,
no,
not gonna, I do what I want to do when I want to do it.
That's right.
Kind of thing.
It's true.
But there I was in front of all those people with their eyes on me, and I felt like I had to do it. And so I did it.
I got a stern talking to later.
You got in trouble?
Never put me on the spot again.
I did not say that,
no,
but I did say to you, that was disgusting.
That was disgusting.
Wasn't it gross?
Well, it was weirdly like super on point as far as the flavor goes.
But the texture.
It was the whole thing. I just like a regular standard peep, preferably blue. In color.
Okay. That's totally fine.
But it is more than peeps for Bran.
Oh, good.
To answer
would that
question.
Take 7 minutes for you to answer that?
It is much more. Probably, you know, in the teenage years.
It didn't take long in my house that we had really moved on from the chocolate bunny rabbits. First of all, my mom was pretty committed to a healthy lifestyle for us.
Okay.
Therefore,
not lots of
you
chocolate.
Guys don't need this. Yeah. And then also, probably not a lot of money. So it's like, here's half a rabbit. Like, I would get the head of the rabbit, my sister would get the ears, and then
chocolates.
My brother would get a real rabbit. My mom cut it up. Yes, the chocolates. And it was fantastic. So we just kind of shared that.
But did you guys do, like, so back in Florida, where I grew up, the baskets would be hidden, and we would have to find. We didn't hunt for eggs. We hunted for baskets, and they would always be like behind the blinds or something like that.
Yeah, never.
That was just me.
No, I've never heard of that. I don't think anybody else did that. I want to say this to you. I don't know if anybody's told you. The reason your mom and dad would have done that is because they didn't really want to spend that much time with you.
Oh,
like just get the basket and this is over. Versus, here's 100 eggs, go take your time and find them across the yard and across the house. It's basically like, let's just put it all in the basket, I'll put it behind the blinds, obviously Brandon will look right there, and then this is over, and we can get on with some other things. I hate to be the one to break it to you, but I think that's why it went
mom,
like it went.
Is that true?
Did she listen?
I don't think
my mom
so.
Doesn't listen either. That's the reason I could say that she was kind of cheap when it came to Easter baskets.
We love all of the moms out
we
there.
Do. Yeah, so I think if you get nothing out of this podcast today, what we want to say to you is, one, buy every child the same amount of chocolate and candies if that's part of what you do on Easter. Side note, that has nothing to do with Easter. And then, except for making some family memories, that's totally fine. And then also, when you pick up your Easter treats, get Brandon some peeps, preferably the blue ones.
Listen, when they go on sale, I'm going to be pretty bummed if I don't have an office full of peeps.
Thirdly,
next week.
If you're going to hide anything, hide all the eggs.
Do it all at once.
No. Hide the opposite of that.
Okay.
Hide all the eggs for the kids. And put a 20 spot in one of the plastic ones.
Yeah.
Right? Just for whichever kid you like. Like if you have multiple kids, whichever kid you like the most. A 20 spot and then kind of push that kid in that direction to go find it.
Yeah.
And then we'll be the only ones that know. Like your kids won't know. But when we hear your kids saying, I got $20 in this egg, we'll know that that's probably your favorite kid.
You know what I'm not looking forward to, though, about this weekend?
Go ahead.
the just social media, just all the family pictures, like, oh, we're all dressed up.
Well,
I got my hat on.
Don't you remember that all of us last year, we did an Easter picture
and
together?
I loved that.
And me, you, Grayson, and Nathan.
Yes.
We all did. And by the way, in case you guys didn't know, it's Grayson and Nathan on the pod with us today. We got a nice picture taken out in front of the cross.
In front of the cross.
Which was very nice.
And we'll do it again. It's a tradition now.
It is a tradition now.
But it's, do you remember, did you guys have to take family pictures growing up?
There wasn't Easter? Social media. It was just
I
Olin
know,
Mills once a year in front of a fake waterfall sitting on a barrel.
Yeah.
Like, that's all we had to do.
We had to take pictures. We would go outside in the Florida sun with chocolate, and it would be melting all over the place. And
you did you already have
pictures.
That beard when you were little, though?
I did,
like
and
at
it was
seven?
All in the beard. It
yeah.
was a mess.
Yeah. Totally get that. Now, here's what we really want to talk about on the pod today. None of that ridiculousness. We got Nathan here, like I said, family discipleship pastor.
Nathan, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Great.
Good.
And we've got Grayson Cato here, worship pastor
Grayson,
of Summit
hi.
Church.
Hello.
And
you're going to need to talk up.
Yeah, Grayson just woke up. I think was he already asleep? How far are we into this pod already?
We are 6 minutes.
He'd fallen asleep in the first 6 minutes. And some of you also may be drowsy riding down the road. So wake it up out there.
Wake up.
We're excited because this week is both Good Friday.
Yes.
And obviously Resurrection Day.
That's right.
And so we're having services. We're having Good Friday services at all of our congregations. We're having Easter services at all of our congregations. And so I thought maybe with these two guys, I'd just love to get some of their thoughts on why do they enjoy the weekend that we're getting ready to have with the people of Summit, friends and family also that may be in town or just coming to be our guests for the day.
Yeah.
I thought who we should start with, Grayson Cato, our worship pastor.
Uh-huh.
Grayson, what do you really enjoy in regards to our Good Friday services and our Easter services?
Because this is the hardest week of the year for worship.
You work
guys.
Really hard. I've seen you already this week.
Just,
you're in constant
like,
communication with everybody. You're putting together orders of services. You know, as the teachers, we don't normally teach quite as long. Do you teach quite as long, Brando?
No.
We shorten it up a little bit, and there seems to be a little more singing involved.
Yeah.
And so
celebrating.
Grayson, celebrating and pondering.
Pondering.
Pondering on Friday.
Pondering and celebrating.
And then
on
celebrating.
Sunday, right.
So, Grayson, what do you love about this week, man? Why does it get you excited? And I need you to talk about it in your most excited voice. Go.
Enunciate.
Yeah.
Well, as a worship pastor,
great.
Our goal every week is to clearly communicate a truth or multiple truths, but usually we try to have a theme, so to speak, and sometimes that's harder than others to get that across to the congregation, to our people.
Yeah.
So Good Friday and Easter, we don't have to work very hard to communicate what you're there to talk about and celebrate.
That's true. That's true.
And so that's something that I enjoy is everyone comes in on Friday prepared, so to speak, that we're going to talk about the cross. We're going to talk about sacrifice of Jesus, and this is the sufficiency. Wow, I can't talk.
You did great.
The sufficiency of that sacrifice and what that means for our life.
Yeah.
And so as a worship pastor, I can choose songs that I know people are going to track with me.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And for Easter, the same. So people come ready to celebrate.
Yeah.
And they come ready to sing, and we don't have to work as hard, so to speak, to get people where we're trying to go as far as what we're trying to celebrate.
Yeah, yep. To that point, that first set that happens on a Sunday morning, those songs typically do tie into the message.
For sure.
But the people just don't know it yet.
Yeah.
And so there's a whole tie in there that lots of times we don't know because we're not listening to the message yet. But on Sunday or Good Friday, Easter Sunday, that just comes a lot more naturally because we already know what we're going in with.
Yeah, it's like you're a teacher and you have a book, you want people to read it and you're going to talk about that book. And the whole class read the book. Everyone comes prepared.
I never read the book.
Did you ever read the book?
I almost never read the book.
I usually read the book, but I wasn't a strong comprehender of what I read. And so I felt like the Cliff's Notes, are those still out? Are people
still
in those?
So everybody read the Cliff Notes.
Mm-hmm.
So a good teacher can still take you somewhere. They can still explain. You can still get the point of the book.
Yeah, yeah. I see what you're doing.
But it's like, as if I'm the teacher,
yeah,
everyone's prepared.
Right.
And so we still get to celebrate and enjoy the beauty of what the book says, or the beauty of what Good Friday talks about, and the beauty of what Easter talks about. But we're all kind of there together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also exciting, too, because people are coming that may or may not come a lot throughout the year.
Sure.
And it's an opportunity to even share the gospel. And so the songs that we choose, we're always going to do a couple of hymns and things that are just rich and people know them, whether they hear every Sunday or whether they're coming in for the second time that year. And there's something beautiful about just reminding of simple truths about the gospel. And we talk about it some, and even as I've talked to the other worship leaders this week, we don't do a huge cantata. We don't have extra lights and smoke and whatnot, but we are intentional that there's going to be people here that aren't usually here. So just even how we introduce ourselves, how the songs we choose, we do understand that there's a beauty that we can sing things that anyone can know, not necessarily just people that are here every week.
Love that.
There's something powerful about that.
Grayson, you did a fantastic job. You enunciated really well. Nathan, you're going to be leading one of our services here at Summit Malden on Good Friday. Maybe just a thought or two from you on why you, I mean, obviously, historically, when we've planted Summit 11 years ago now, whatever it's been, we just decided right out of the gate, man, we want to do Good Friday services. Mm. And I was kind of surprised at how many people, when Summit began and started coming around, so people started coming around Summit, had never really been a part of Good Friday services.
Yeah.
And then we've just seen this trend through the years that it's actually become a really sweet service for so many of our folks. We've heard repeatedly from our people, resurrection morning means, I don't want to say that it means more to me, but it's I'm processing it differently because I've taken the time to come to a Good Friday service and process as well.
Absolutely.
Can you talk a little bit about our intentionality with that?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, the beauty of this week is that it is at the forefront, and it gives us the opportunity in the calendar year to hold in front of us two beautiful realities that are presented to us in Scripture. And the first is the realness of sin and death in this world, and yep. the sorrow and the loss and the cost of human rebellion. And we get to acknowledge that. We don't have to sugarcoat that. We're like in our flaws and our failures and the just honest loss that comes with living in a broken world. And we get to rest 100% in the accomplished work of Jesus and what he has done for us. And man, what I love about this season is it really, as you lean into and acknowledge the cost, like it helps me as I go into Easter, and even as I have conversations with my kids about it, to hold up, no, like sin and death are really, really big deals, and they are realities in our experience, and these are hard things to live with. And I don't have to sugarcoat it.
That's right.
And I get to say, and there is hope.
Yeah.
And there is resurrection. And there is life because of what God has done. And those two realities get to coexist side by side. And it's a really wonderful opportunity to invite people into.
Yeah. I think it was Tim Keller, pastor up in New York City, who said there is no hope in the gospel if our sin has no meaning.
Yeah.
I think that's a power, I read that or heard him say that years and years ago now, and man, it really stuck with me. I've come back to it over and over and over again, and we're really looking forward to both our Good Friday services and our Easter Sunday services, and we hope if you're in town and around that you'll make it a priority to join us. I believe all of our services are pretty much taking place at 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And at our different congregations, and we'll be taking communion together, worshiping together through song, obviously spending some time just talking and processing through the sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf. And then, man, Sunday morning will be here. I'm really looking forward to that as well. I think as a pastor, guys, one of the things that I've thought a good bit about actually through the years is a desire that I have, and I know that you guys have, and a lot of our folks have, to live in the reality of the resurrection every day. Mm-hmm. Right? Like culturally, you know, we know, and sometimes jokes are made like, well, we'll see certain groups of people at Christmas, and we'll see certain groups of people at Easter, and then you don't see them at any other time, whatever the case may be.
Surely no one that's listening to this podcast would fall into that category.
That is exactly right. And yeah. So I don't know, for me, it's just been one of the joys through the years to process with people, and even in my own life, how the hope of the resurrection, what we celebrate this coming Sunday, actually means everything for every day. Right. It means everything for even all of our gatherings when we come together on Sunday. Like, this is what we're doing. Yeah. Like, when we come together on Sundays, every Sunday, what we're doing is we're being intentional about reminding one another, reminding those that we have the opportunity to shepherd and walk with, those that we shepherd and walk with, reminding us of the beauty and the hope of the resurrection. You guys give a couple of thoughts on that.
Yeah, no, I was having a conversation with a first responder this morning who was processing just being a first responder, like the exposure to just sorrow, evil, pain that exists in this world. And yeah. he confessed, he was like, it's really hard and it's easy to go to a dark place after just that constant exposure, and it right. can rub the soul raw. And just talking with him and hearing him process how the hope of the resurrection gives a hope that this world and his work has significance and meaning, and there is hope to it.
Yeah.
But it does not ultimately rest on him. So it's not up to first responders' job to stop people from, man, just pain.
Yeah.
But like, it is a work of God that we get to participate in, knowing that God's the one that's ultimately going to bring life and healing and restoration to this world.
Love it.
That's just an EMS guy yeah. processing. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Grayson, what would you say as a worship pastor that you would want people to think through and process through in regards to, I mean, even what you were talking about, like every Sunday you guys are putting thought into leading people to contemplate the beauty and the hope of the gospel and who we are in Jesus Christ. Like, as people are driving down the road today, what is it that you would say to them that you would want to encourage them with in regards to living the resurrection every day?
Yeah, I think... obviously, as we preach through books of the Bible, it's going to address different topics. It's going to go sure. through different things.
Side note, we're currently in Philippians. And actually, side note to the side note, we're really excited because just where we are in Philippians, like, we get to do Good Friday services out of Philippians 2:8. We get to do Easter services out of Philippians 2:9, 10, and 11. And so we love that. There's some strategy. There's some strategery behind that as well. Go ahead, Greg. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so there's... as we're preaching through books of the Bible, there's specific topics that come up. And so we obviously there's songs that go with certain topics, but the overarching goal of our songs would be that they'd be applicable to lots of areas. So anytime a song is gospel focused, or talks about the need for Jesus and the sacrifice he made and the hope we have because of the resurrection, those songs are going to be infiltrated throughout the year as we sing. So I think, even as y'all listen to music and choose what you're listening to and filling your head with different truths about God, these songs that we're singing on Good Friday and Easter, yes, they're more obviously applicable on Good Friday and Easter, but they're ones that can be great reminders throughout the year. Even on Spotify and stuff, people make really good playlists these days. We have a couple at Summit, but if you like, you can just look up like Good Friday playlist, Easter playlist. They're full of hopeful truths that are great all the time. So as we continue to remind ourselves of these truths, I think it does help you when things come up just to be reminded and to be quicker. Not that you're going to be perfect at it, but the beauty of music is it can connect in such a way that sometimes just speaking words doesn't.
That's right.
So you're going to remember it differently. And even as we sing songs this weekend that are familiar, you're going to have memories of your childhood, or if you grew up in church, or you grew up singing with whoever. Music has a cool ability to remind us and to help us deal with our emotions that come up.
Let's do around the room. Let's do a little. What do the kids call it? A little popcorn, hot potato. What do you want to say when it's a little
hot sauce.
What we're gonna on a personal level. Okay. What has been intentional discipline, an intentional thought, something intentionally you've done in your life that you say this has been pretty essential for me in regards to living in the reality of the resurrection year round, not just seasonally, not just for a week, not just for a service or two, so to speak. What do you got, Nathan?
For me, it has been a practice that I can safely say I've tried to implement over the past year or so, and that is one of the first conscious things I try to do is to walk through the Lord's Prayer. And in that, the phrase, dwelling particularly on your kingdom come.
Yeah.
Like that idea of, because Christ is alive, because he is king, like, please, Lord, like, let that kingdom come and let me be a piece of, a part of that.
Love that.
That's been one thing.
It's really great. What about you, Greg?
Yeah, so that for me is actually Philippians 4, the do not be anxious about anything, by everything, prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and going into just how our thoughts and what we put in our head, whatever is good, whatever is noble. And so even before we went into Philippians that I knew we were going to do that, that's been a thing that's been huge on my mind. So as things come up that I get stressed about and I struggle with different things with anxiety, but just reminding myself that God has overcome that and I don't have to be anxious because he's in control. And even as we walk through the series and just Paul imprisonment and all of that kind of stuff, which as I'd been reading Philippians 4, I kind of passed the first three chapters and like his situation, it's been even more powerful that if my baby's not sleeping at night, well, Paul's in prison and he's able to count all things joy. So it's been really powerful and something that I've not perfectly done, but I eventually come to, and that helps me live in the hope of the gospel.
Good. What do you say, Brando?
Yeah, I think just processing aloud what the Lord is teaching you, whether it be with your spouse or your life group or whatever. I think that's helpful, just reminding yourself that the Lord is continuing to work, not just on one day out of the year or 2 days out of the year, but throughout the year. Just taking time
that's
to reflect
right.
on how the Lord is growing you and what he's teaching you. I think that's a super important thing.
Yeah, and I would say there has to be an intentional Sabbath rest to contemplate the awe and wonder of the resurrection yeah. and what it means for all of life, what it means for every day, what it means for every interaction, what it means for how I navigate everything that I'm walking through with the Spirit. And so I think that we culturally do a really poor job of Sabbath. We do a really poor job of rest. We do a really poor job of sitting still and pondering. And I think that when we begin to practice the discipline of solitude, when we practice the discipline of silence, when we practice the discipline of just resting with intentionality, it helps. It's an essential piece of contemplating the beauty and the hope and the power of the resurrection and how it applies to every area of my life. And then I'd also agree with what you said, Bran. I think there's also something very much about intentional relationships with other people, mm-hmm. our friends that we hang with, our life group that we're a part of, if we're married with our spouses, of intentional conversations, gospel friendships that allow that in which we are reminded of what we know to be true, but we need to be reminded in different moments, in different ways, in different times. So as you're out there today driving down the road, we would ask you to contemplate how it is you are intentionally processing through how the power and the hope of the resurrection applies to every day and every aspect of your life, and to think well about what it would look like to continue to grow in that and be intentional in that way.
That's right.
Is that all you got, Brando?
That's all that we have, and that's all we have time for.
Is it really all we have time
for? To be frank
with
you.
Were we at 22 minutes?
What do
we
got? We're at 23 minutes.
We're at 23 minutes? Well, special Easter. It's a special Easter edition.
Yeah.
So we'll go a minute over.
Yeah.
We hope everyone has a great time out there. We hope you arrive back safely from wherever you're going. Listen, if you're traveling this spring break right now, riding down the road, we'd love a postcard. Just put it in the mail. From wherever you are, and where you think?
48 Brookfield Oaks Drive, Suite A, mm-hmm. Suite mm-hmm. A.
Do you think anybody will actually take time to send
no,
us a postcard?
No one will.
I don't think anybody will. No, I think one person will.
One person?
I think one person is going to listen to this today. They're going to get where they're going. They may be pulling over right now, and they're going to get the gasoline for the car, and they're going to go in there, and they're going to go, oh, here's a postcard.
Do they sell postcards still? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you send us a postcard.
From Santa Fe.
From wherever.
Okay. San Francisco.
From San Francisco.
Orlando. A lot of people doing the Disney thing.
If you send it to, and we get an actual postcard.
Hilton Head Island.
The first one we get.
Charleston, South Carolina.
You will win.
Lawrence, South Carolina.
They don't have postcards with Lauren, South Carolina.
A caricature sketch of me and Jason.
Drawn by me?
Drawn by you.
Well, you've seen how I can draw.
It's really good. You're going to want this.
It's really horrible.
We have people that can draw. We'll get it done.
No,
it'll be us. Here's what we'll do. You and I will go to Carowinds.
Yep.
This will be a work trip. We'll go to Carowinds, and we will have the professional caricature guy.
Yeah. We're now at 25 minutes.
Draw a picture of you and I. Grayson, you're not allowed to talk to
anymore. I saw a guy
pod.
Downtown doing that for
really?
Free.
For free?
Yeah. Huh. By the falls.
Really?
Yeah. So
it wasn't really free. You had to leave a tip.
Don't say free.
If you expect me to leave a tip, say leave a tip.
Leave a tip.
All right. And that's your tip for the day, everybody. Keep it safe out there. We love you. See you soon. Peace out.
Bye-bye.